A man is sucked into a video game and gets to ride freaking sweet light cycles and throws discs. It's totally rad.
Okay.
Welcome to the Walt Vault with
Michelle,
Andre,
Louise,
and me, Emily. We're a family-friendly podcast where we pick a new Disney movie each week. We watch it, share our thoughts, and then relate it to pop culture, fandoms, and anything else that pops into our heads. Enjoy!
Hello and welcome to the Walt Vault, episode 96!
96.
Oh, wait, we're almost at 100. Isn't something exciting happening in that one?
Yeah.
We said something. That, but now I can't remember what the...
That we'll make something is. Exciting happening.
That was before COVID-19.
Yeah, something exciting will happen.
We'll still make something exciting happen.
Yeah, thank you guys
no
for being
more
here.
Self-quarantining.
Episode 100?
Hopefully. That's only 4 weeks from now.
it's possible.
So it's
not Emily's probably sad she agreed to record every week right now. Whose idea was that? Mine.
I mean,
and whose idea was this movie's? Mine.
Yours.
And who
it was freaking yours.
Who regrets?
Seriously, Michelle, just because they have like EDM start doesn't mean it's great.
Hey, well, listen, in my defense, I've only seen Tron Legacy. I didn't know what we were getting into with Tron. He's seen it. He didn't warn us. So blame him.
This week, we are talking about the 1982 and the 2010 Tron movies.
We could only talk about the 2010 one. I bet we could sum up.
No, I think we need to talk about Tron so that I can talk about craziness.
We absolutely have to talk about both of them.
Sum it up in like 5 minutes. That's how bad it was. Okay, anyways, we're doing Tron, so we'll do first impressions of each. Oh, I love it.
Oh.
The Doctor.
Different sci-fi franchise.
Is that a pencil or a pen?
It's a pen.
We need the TARDIS, and we're going to go back in time and talk about this movie from the 80s.
All right, so we're in the year.
Lisa's just very happy about this being, you know, videotaped, so go ahead.
We're in the year 1982. We'll go around for first impressions of just the original Tron from 1982, which was a Disney movie, because that's why we're doing it. Okay. Right? It was a Disney movie at that time?
It was. Okay.
I don't know, because sometimes, you know, Disney buys things and then makes a new one, so I don't know.
No, that was Disney original.
All right, Emily, first impression of Tron from 1982.
You don't want to know my first impression.
You do
I can't handle the truth.
We want to know.
We want to know. We
want to know.
It was bad, dude. I won't even lie. I went in, I knew nothing about Tron at all. I didn't know it was supposed to be like based in like a gaming world. I didn't know it was supposed to be video games. And I'm going to say I'm really happy I didn't know, because I would have hyped it up in my own mind much more than I did, not knowing anything going in. So when this whole world started playing out, I literally thought, okay, Lou, I'm going to give this like a really hard shot, because even though it's not holding up at all, right? Like bad, it could have a really good storyline. And I kept hoping and kept hoping and kept hoping. And then the movie was not over. And I kept hoping. And Oh my God, literally, it was a movie that should not have been a movie, because unfortunately it was a cool concept, but just not executed at all. It wasn't even executed.
In other words, that was her first impression. It was poop, everybody. It was poop.
It was so bad.
Louise, first impression of OG Tron.
Again, similar to what my wife said. Poor execution, but the plot was pretty cool. And if I
like the overall idea of it.
Yeah, the idea of it was cool. If I stand correct, they weren't necessarily in a video game. They were in like the internet.
It wasn't even the internet.
They were in the computer.
Mainframe?
It was their. It was NCOM's personal server.
Yeah,
they're in a computer server.
Dog just fell behind the couch.
Oh, he fell off the back. I want to make sure he's okay.
He's strong. Don't get up. Where are you going?
Come, sit
back down. Sit back down. He can come out. Sit back down. It's all right. It's all right. He's okay.
Come here, baby.
The one good thing that I like that they didn't do, I know that, I'm sorry, I know it's the first impression time, but they didn't do like, they're in the hardware.
Mm-hmm.
they did it like they're in the system, which I like better.
Right. Yes.
They didn't make them like physically somewhere. They made them more like almost like it reminded me of Willy Wonka, like when they beamed them into the TV type of an idea. It kind of was more like that than it was like they physically were small inside the hardware. Like,
right. No, they became part
Ralphie. You know what I mean?
Like digitized into the software, basically.
Yeah, that's what happened. That's kind of a, I guess we'll say that's a very 80s thing. Sorry, guys. My poor dog, he fell off the back of the couch. Poor Douglas.
He's fine. Addy fell off the back of the couch and she's fine. He's good. He's got four legs.
He's all confused now. He's sitting on me like, what just happened? Okay, Andre, go ahead.
You give yours.
Oh, he's got something to say. My first impression is boo.
Vote to you.
I was watching it within 10 minutes. I was like, oh no. Oh no. Like, this sucks, right? And then I made this comment, which is, it's a bad comment. I was like, wow, 80s movies are really slow. But that's not true. It's not. A lot of 80s movies are, a lot of 80s movies are really good. I went through a time where I absolutely loved 80s movie. This movie is just a boo. I did not like it.
It's a boo.
It was slow.
I feel bad for it because it just was trying, and I tried really hard to like it, and I could not.
And apparently this movie, like, has a cult following because, like, why would they make a second one? And if you're making a second one based off of that crap, it's like, oh.
Okay. Well, you have to put your head into the mind of an 80s teenager or young adult who was, like, into technology.
That was technology of the
That's
day.
That's what technology looked like. So to them, the idea of getting inside it is, like, really cool. But, like, looking at it now, it's like, oh, my God, that did not.
Oh, it sucks so bad. And it was so slow. And also the acting was, like, really bad to me. Like, I didn't care that the characters were kissing. I was like, cool, whatever. Like, I literally don't care about any of those people in that movie.
I don't even know their names.
Saving Grace was my boy.
Oh, no.
Bridges. Tony! Was that not the guy who played Tony?
Yeah.
Tony! Okay. All right, Andre. Go ahead. First impression.
Okay. So let me hit y'all with some information.
You know, first impressions used to be shorter. I don't know what happened.
This one's going to be long.
You happened, Michelle.
Yeah.
You made this.
Ms. Talks
he didn't warn us. He heard it.
Okay. Let me hit y'all with some information about this movie. Just to set the stage. So, first of all of the scenes that were shot within the grid in the system, everybody is basically in complete darkness wearing a white outfit. So
I did hear this part. So
this was before blue screens. So all of the things that are digitized around them, they did it by shooting everything dark. So every shot, every scene that they're in real life, it's just all black background. You can't see anything. It's dark in the studio. There's like only lights on the reflective stuff on their costumes. So I would just like you to put your head in the mindset of a person who has to act in the dark, and maybe that'll revamp the way that you think about the acting.
Sure, whatever.
Also, this movie.
The Mowgli kid did it with stuffed animals, and it looked better than this.
Well, yeah, that's very true.
The Netflix version?
No, the Disney did.
The live action one. Yes, but also this was set in 1982. And this concept was kind of completely brand new. The idea of diving into computers and computer systems and thinking about computers as a place setting for an adventure is completely new for this movie and this time. And thirdly,
hi Douglas.
And thirdly, this movie came out. It used like some of the very earliest forms of CGI.
Right.
So much so that it was banned from the Oscars that year because they considered computers to be cheating. It couldn't win an award for special effects because you guys use computers. What are you crazy?
That's hilarious.
You can't use a computer for a movie.
You're like, does any movie without computers now get an Oscar? Probably not.
Absolutely.
But
not.
Babe, you still haven't given your first impression.
Correct. I'm not done.
Oh, my
so,
God.
He's trying to give us reasons why he thinks this movie's bomb.
So all of that being said, I have seen this movie when I was much, much younger. And so basically all I remembered from it was light cycles and that it was pretty slow. So, yeah, upon this viewing, I didn't enjoy it that much. I mean, it is a very cool concept. I really like the idea of him diving into the computer to recover evidence to figure out that the dude's company was stealing his ideas and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's a good storyline, but a sucky movie.
It's a good storyline, but yes, it is executed in a way that does not hold up to current times. So that
you
is
know what? It didn't even hold up then. Like, think about the storyline.
Well, yeah, and that's
not that many people had computers, so people were probably like, okay.
No, screenwriting was bad.
Right.
Like,
I made the comment that if Star Wars came out like 5 years before this, this movie is a piece of crap. Like, because that movie looked and seemed like so much better in comparison to this. Like, this seems like it's from the 60s then. Like, it just was not. It was not good to me. Like, if Star Wars happened, this movie could have been a lot better.
Right.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
For sure.
I agree.
I said that multiple times. I was like, this is like a really, really, really bad Star Wars.
Yeah. It's raggedy.
Anywho, keep going.
It's real raggedy. So,
your first impression was...
So my first impression is that, like, this movie is super slow and pretty boring. But I respect it for its contributions to CGI at the time. Our own resident creep and king of Pixar, John Lasseter, has said that without Tron, there would be no Toy Story. The only reason that he thought about using computer animation in the 90s is because of the things that Tron put forward in the 80s.
Okay, so it can have historical significance, sure. But it's still bad.
I'm not saying it's a good movie. I'm saying that it's important.
When we watched Tron, and then we watched Tron Legacy, and then when we were done with Tron Legacy, it suggested that we watch Tron. And I was like, no.
Did that.
I was like, I already saw it, first of all, and second of all, no. Get it off of my suggestion.
Well, it wanted us to watch Tron Uprising, and I was like.
Oh, the cartoon? Yeah, no.
Yeah, I can't.
Yeah, no.
Can't speak
when they suggested that, I was about ready to cancel Disney Plus.
Plus,
this is the way.
So, let's compare the first impressions of Tron to our first impressions of Tron Legacy. I'll start. I like Tron Legacy, okay? Within the first 10 minutes, I was like, thank goodness, this is why I remember I thought Tron was cool. And second of all, everything made more sense to me. Like, I feel like Tron just started and they didn't explain like anything that was going on. They didn't set the stage at all. So yeah. I remember being like, I don't know anything. First of all, I don't know anything about hacking and coding and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So as soon as it started, I was like, I literally have no idea what's happening.
Yeah.
You didn't explain it to the viewer. You didn't set it up for somebody who doesn't understand that at all. Versus Tron Legacy.
That time period probably didn't understand it either.
Yeah, no. It was just like happening. Versus Tron Legacy, they set it up for you at the beginning. And they explained things a little bit more thoroughly where I was like, oh, okay, I get it. Like, this makes sense. So I really appreciate that. Third of all, it has Daft Punk who did the entire music. So just for that I'm like sold. And the whole time we were watching the movie, I'm in my chair just going like this, like bobbing my head, like anytime something happens. And like the vibe of the movie, like, yes, it's like, I guess you would say it's a sci-fi movie. Sci-fi?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, it's a sci-fi movie. But the vibe, I just really like the vibe of the whole movie. Like the costumes combined with the music and everything like that gives, what was that?
He's eating my snacks.
It looked like he was eating a bug. That was gross.
It was a green goldfish. You know how sometimes the goldfish are different colors?
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Because I was like, why was it green? It looked like a bug. Yeah, so overall, I had a good first impression, and I haven't seen this movie in a really long time. I think I only saw it once, like in the theater. So watching it again was good, and I enjoyed it way more than Tron. Okay, Andre, first impression of Tron Legacy. I'm just going backwards now.
Okay. Tron Legacy is a delightful movie. I think it's nice and short and fun and a good sequel to Tron, which we've agreed is not the best movie. But this is a good sequel. And I really think that I noticed this time is that this movie is gorgeous. It's so pretty to look at.
On our new 4K 70
on our
TV.
New TV. But
I was like, ugh.
But even without that.
She was a green alien.
This movie looks fantastic, and I think that speaks to the practicality of how they shot it. They they built lights into all of the costumes. They built a lot of the sets and stuff like that. They built those light cycles that they rode and all of those things. And yeah. I think that really was an advantage for for Tron Legacy, as it rather than them using full CGI for all that stuff.
Yeah.
Lou, your first impression.
No, you go.
Dougie's heart is broken.
Okay, fine. I'll go. I'm going to be the odd duck and say, first impression, the movie started, I was super sold. Like, so much better. Great follow-up. It's going to be better than the first. Totally about it. Yes, I do agree it's better than the first. Yes, the music was cool. It was beautifully shot. But there comes a point in the movie, we'll talk about it, comes a point in the movie where I think it literally got so slow and drawn out where I was like, we had momentum. What happened?
You know why? It's because they have to travel on that stupid light beam, which they did in the first movie. And I told Andre, shouldn't this data move quicker?
Yeah. Point being, it gets to a point, and it was like going. Yeah. And then it gets to that point, and it slows down, and it's like
horrendously slow.
Like, I don't like it. Because then it took everything that was good about it and what had fixed itself from the first movie and just like, oh, God. And then I felt like we were drudging to get to the end.
Right. Yeah. Screeching halt.
Okay, I can agree.
But I will say that I really liked this as a sequel because of the way that they paired in
Flynn.
Like, they... What?
Jeff Bridges.
They did a lot of callbacks. They did a lot of really good seaming together of the two movies. Even though the first one had a lot of issues, the second one was like exactly how the first one should have been without the technology or the good writing. Right.
Although I don't understand why these movies are called Tron when they're kind of about Flynn. Like, I'm sure we called Flynn.
No,
I get Tron agree, sounds better.
We can talk about that. Yeah.
Yes.
All right, Louise, first impression of Tron Legacy. He's eating some goldfish.
Okay. We'll wait. It's fine.
Siri just popped up. She was like, what do you want?
What's her first impression of Tron?
Siri. No, it's not going to work now. Anyways, it only works when nobody cares.
Second Tron, right?
Yeah, Legacy.
I'm agreeing a lot with my wife today.
Today
started off with a lot of momentum came
talking
down
about
to
decibels.
A
very loud.
Screeching halt
towards the end. Yeah,
okay, I don't disagree.
It was good, and then it was like,
I will say though, Baby Bell did a good job as Flynn Jr.
Baby Bell,
Baby Bell.
No, Luis,
he looks like Christian Bale.
The guy looks like Christian Bale.
Big time, he does.
So he's calling him Baby Bale.
Baby Bale.
Okay.
Okay. I mean, I guess I could kind of, sort of. Yeah, okay. I could kind of sort of see it.
All right.
Garrett Hedlund. Okay, so let's talk about Tron 1 just a little bit so that we can set up to talk about Tron 2.
I thought you talked about it plenty.
Well, let's go through some of the plot points. So we got...
Plot points? Go through the three.
Okay, so there's this dude, Alan Walker. He works for NCOM. NCOM has...
Alan Walker?
Yeah, his name's Alan Walker.
Okay.
Isn't it?
I don't remember his last name.
Let's do major plot.
Yeah. Well, Alan Walker is a DJ. Maybe I'm overgeneralizing.
Okay, let's... we got
okay,
our,
first
our
off,
homie...
There is a guy who got... fired from his company. He works, he has high clearance, he's a really, really good computer programmer, and he gets fired because he comes up with
a video game idea.
An amazing video game plus
several amazing video game ideas, including Space Paranoid, his most famous one.
Space Paranoid.
Yes. And his boss,
Dillinger,
stole it. Mm-hmm. Dillinger.
Yeah, Dillinger.
He stole it and he sold it as his own to the top of the company, and he got a promotion
ranks.
And he's in cahoots with the master control program of NCOM, which is so okay, whatever.
Well, you know, so here's the deal. I was actually really into the fact that the computer was talking to him. Mm-hmm. So the master control program was like AI
yes.
of that time, and actually had a really cool like vibe about it, because it was like really controlling and like getting his like fingers, like they were getting their tendrils out into other companies, yeah. and were like pretty much hacking on their own. Mm-hmm. Like, it was very ominous, and then they never went anywhere with that.
Yeah,
they could have used that more.
That kind of was cool. Like, it reminds me of iRobot, but yes. it didn't get there. I don't know.
Anyway. They didn't think far enough ahead into the future. But they did have a pretty cool inlaid desk that had the computer inside the desk. I like that. That was dope. It's not good for your neck. It's real bad. You got to look down at all times, but it looks really cool.
They didn't know anything about ergonomics back then.
They didn't know. Okay, so Flynn, he gets ousted from the company. He goes and starts an arcade because he's super good at video games and he loves
it. He gets acid from the company?
Axed.
He gets axed from the company, and he goes and starts his arcade. The other guy who works there, Alan, has created a different program called Tron, which is a security program for the NCOM system. Which is a direct threat to the master control program. So Flynn and Alan hook up, and they're like, hey, dude, I think maybe we could sneak into NCOM and get your stuff back and prove that you're the guy who should be at the top of the company instead of this Dillinger dude. And so they sneak in there. He goes and starts hacking on a terminal and whatnot, and then he presses a couple of really complicated wrong buttons and gets digitized into the system. And he's deep in and becomes... basically adjacent to a computer program. He goes in there, and the computer program's stuff is wild in there. They're like the Greeks with an arena, and they're playing games, and for some dude's crazy weird pleasure, and they're fighting each other and stuff like that with frisbees.
Apparently they really were frisbees.
Yes, they like, absolutely were.
Like, they were frisbees.
They also had a frisbee expert on staff.
I would have still heard if it were a frisbee.
What?
I said they had a frisbee expert on set. Yeah.
I really appreciate that. That's hilarious. Fascinating.
So once Flynn is once you're in like Flynn, is that where that phrase comes from?
Flint.
From
Ron? Oh, in like Flint?
In like Flint?
I don't know. In like Flynn?
I'm going to say it's in like Flynn.
You keep doing that. I'm looking it up.
Okay.
Flynn gets, I've literally never heard of that phrase.
Stuff.
No idea.
You've never heard that phrase?
Nope. Anyway, Flynn gets in like Flynn, and then he worms his way through. He starts meeting other programs and figuring out that the master control program has completely taken over the grid, which is what this place is called. And
in like Flint.
Oh, it is Flint? Mm. I really wish it was from this movie. Anyway.
Nope.
It was from Our Man Flint. It was a spy movie in the 60s. See, that's what kind of people you know me and Andre are. We have parents who are up in there saying that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That's but I didn't really watch movies, so.
Weird. Anyway.
Can't choose what my parents do.
Flynn, he starts playing the games. He's fighting against the master control program. He gets in. He kind of starts an uprising. He hangs out with Tron, who looks exactly like Alan. And then they fight against the master control program, defeat him, and then free the system from his tyranny. And then Flynn gets out of the
free
program.
Data.
He proves that he was the one who created those video games, and then he becomes the owner of NCOM, the company.
That's it. That's all you need.
You made that sound so much more interesting than it really was, even though that was the plot.
I mean, that's
because the acting was really bad.
I like Jeff Bridges in
he's
Tron.
Fine, but the rest of bless it you. Was not. The acting was bad.
Jeff Bridges was good, but like the writing was really bad because, like, for example, you first see Alan on screen, who's the creator of Tron, mm-hmm. right? And Alan is like dating this girl who you didn't even talk about because she wasn't even necessary. Right?
Lara? Laurie?
Lara. Right? You didn't even need her. That's how bad she was. So he goes and he finds her and they're like talking. They obviously are a love interest at this point, but she used to be with Flynn.
Right.
And they go to his arcade to like tell him, hey, like the boss is on to you. And then they automatically go back and jeopardize their entire job that is very obviously important and makes them like hundreds of thousands of dollars a year
right.
to help him. And Alan doesn't even like him.
It makes no.
Well, it doesn't seem like he does.
No, he
like
does
his
not.
Girlfriend's
like
ex-boyfriend.
He does it because the projection.
He's always like, "Why are we going? Like, why are we gonna help him?" And then, like, the minute Flynn's like, "No, man, I like made that game," and he's like, "Oh, well, we're gonna go jeopardize my job then."
The thing that bugs me the most is like she's in the whatever realm because she's a programmer too. So like her program's in there, right? Which is her.
Yeah.
She kisses Flynn. And then kisses Tron. And I'm like,
Because she kisses Flynn, he dies, and then straight up kisses the other one.
I'm like, okay.
This is all, you know.
Like, the other one's dead. The other one's dead.
She wrote in some extra flirtiness. She wrote in some extra flirtiness for her program. She's like, I'm straight laced out here in the real world, but I'm gonna make Laura a little freak.
What I didn't like is I wanted all of the programs in the first one to be more programmatic and like robotic like that. I'm like, okay, I get that you're using this as like a metaphor and like that these things are personifications and blah, blah, blah. But it should have been more robotic to me, which was why in the Tron Legacy, I liked the girls that were all white and like doing things to them. I was like, okay, this is like pretty robotic. And like seems like they're more like programs, or they're saying like your program, you have to do what you're programmed to do and things like that. Yeah. Where I was like, okay, like it makes a little bit more sense to me versus just them being a personification.
You look like a weirdo in the video. Stop doing that.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
He was playing the piano on my leg, which looked really weird when you were watching it. Oh, so I thought.
Okay. Well, I agree with that, Michelle. But
I agree as well.
And that comes from them really, really not explaining in the first Tron, like, what any of this means or what any of this is supposed to do. If in 1982 you've never even used a computer before and all of these computer programs are being personified as people and stuff like that, it's like, what is happening?
And also, I was having a really hard time that when they were there, people in the programs and when he was in the system, I like didn't realize they were the same actors at first because it was the way it was shot was really dark, which makes sense now. But they had
really
all that headgear on. It was hard to tell who was who, where I was like, oh, it's the same person. But it took me like halfway through the movie to even get to that point where I was like, oh my gosh.
I could tell it was Jeff Bridges' character.
Yeah, because
but
his voice.
I was getting him and the Tron character confused because with all the way that it was shot, like you said, it was hard like half the time I didn't know who was talking. I was like,
Even when he first talked to the girl, I was like, okay, there's a girl robot. And then later on, I was like, oh, it's that girl. Like, I didn't like realize it. Uh-huh. It took me a while. And then the thing that bugged me the most is there's so many shots of just the programs like this on the computer for like a minute, just like on the computer, no music, just like a little bit of sound in the background. Ding, 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 ding. And then it shoots to something else and then it shoots back. Ding, ding, ding,
wait,
ding,
what do you mean? Like of them like hacking and stuff when they're
just
at the computer?
When they're in the thing, like the robots are just like when they're getting in the thing and he's like trying to look around. It's like,
I think they were really impressed with themselves. They were like
just so slow. I'm like, get on with it. I get what you're doing. You're looking for.
But here's the deal.
It need to be 5 minutes.
Here's the deal. I remember so distinctly when I was a kid. Probably like 7 or 8 years old. My cousin, who's how old is Kenny? Do you think 30? He might be like 7 or 8 years older than me. I remember him playing a game on my grandpa's computer that looked exactly like that tank game where you're going through and you like look around the corners and you keep going. It's the maze and stuff. Like that brought back memories. And so I'm thinking to myself, if that was like late 90s. It was probably a game from like the early 90s, right? That he was playing. So this is all of the games that they're playing are very reminiscent of that time period. So they probably, like you said, they probably felt very proud of the fact that they were able to use computers to digitize all of these things that were happening in this world. Because obviously Pong was one of the games, right?
Oh, Pong was the inspiration for this entire movie.
Well, there you go.
That's what the director has said. He was playing Pong.
Well, I definitely saw a Pac-Man in Tron.
Yes, Pac-Man makes a cameo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which was so bizarre. Because as much as I love it.
Or
In the first one. Yeah. You saw it. Yeah. You were the one who called it out.
I just couldn't remember where.
As much as I love a good Easter egg, it stood out very awkwardly. It was like,
the Pac-Man.
And it made the noises and everything. It was fun. I liked Pac-Man enough. That tickled me.
So anywho.
What was I going to say?
Is there much more to say about Tron?
I'm done with Tron.
Right. So about them lingering on those shots, like, yeah, I think they were really impressed with what they were able to do because this movie was originally planned to be an animated movie. And then they started layering in these live action elements and realized that they could use computers to animate on top of the live action.
It probably would have been better if it was just animation.
Yeah. I completely agree with that. Yeah, that's what they should have done because that would have held up a lot better, even though it probably wouldn't have been quite as technologically advanced at the time.
Well, think about it, though. We watch all kinds of movies from the 60s, 70s, 80s, and even if they're remastered or not, we're still like, oh, I mean, for the time period, it was good. Like, this, yeah, even though it was, like, of the time period, I'm not saying it's good.
I'm sure, like, it probably did look good for what it was, but I couldn't do it. I was watching it like, oh, my God, just, I need it to stop. It needs to be
done. It's funny, though, that you bring up the fact that they were recorded in the, or they were shot in the dark, mm-hmm. because I kept thinking to myself, it was so hard to, like, make out their features. They all looked, like, really gray.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that, so makes, that makes sense, because I did that, too. Remember, I was saying, like, all the shots look so dark, and that's mm-hmm. why. Maybe that wasn't your best strategy. I don't know.
Yeah, it's really interesting, because, like we said, like, at one point, Flynn, Tron, and another dude that they met, Ram, are all hanging out, and they're palling around adventuring together, and it is incredibly hard to make out each one from another. And then they get into the light cycles, and it's like, okay, there's no way I can see who's who and who's doing what.
The light cycles look so bad, and I know that's because I've seen, like, Tron Legacy. Andre's going to say it looks good, that's fine, but I was watching it like, oh my God.
I'm not going to say it looks good, but it's really cool. It's still, like,
the concept is cool, but it didn't do anything for me.
Well, and that reminds me of Snake. Remember that game?
Yes. Mm-hmm. The idea of riding a
Snake, a like, on the Nokia phone?
Yes.
Yeah, the concept is cool, but I'm saying it did nothing for me in Tron. Until we watched Tron Legacy, and I was like, yeah, this is sick. Like, all of the motorcycle scenes in Tron Legacy, we'll get into it, is the best part, you know, like, or to me, in my opinion. But it did nothing. It did nothing for me in Tron.
Yeah.
You're so cute, Michelle, to me, what? In my opinion.
Last
time. Sorry, guys, our dog is.
That's how I feel, in my opinion.
It is how I feel. Very cute.
What if? Last bad what thing if? I'll say about Tron 1
how
is,
have you know
is that the cute. Score is it was pretty bleh. It stood out to me as not fitting into the style of the movie almost the entire time. The music
it wasn't
was done,
placed well.
Yeah, you exactly. know what I mean? Yeah. The music was done by a woman who worked with Stanley Kubrick a bunch. I'll find her name in a minute.
Carol, I think her name was.
Yes, Carol Wendy.
Hey, Carol Baskin.
Wendy Lewis, something like that.
Hey, all you.
Oh, it wasn't
kids.
Carol Baskin.
Her name is Wendy Carlos, and she did The Shining. She did The Shining, and she did A Clockwork Orange. Both movies that I like a lot.
Really.
And think of their scores fondly, but for this, it just really wasn't mixing. For me, but I think
she probably
I was also
didn't know how to mix it either.
Yeah, I think I was also
she probably thought,
it.
You know, I just don't know what to do here.
Right, I don't know what you guys are doing.
Just gonna do some stuff and let it happen.
Yeah, here's some music. But I think I was also comparing it to Tron Legacy, and that soundtrack is dope. So let's move on to
that
movie.
Let's start with that for Tron Legacy. So Tron Legacy's music is done by one of the most iconic EDM artists of all time, Daft Punk. I guess I should say EDM duo. Even if you don't really listen to EDM music, you know who Daft Punk is, just because they have some pretty well-known stuff. So even if
and I will say that I'm not big into EDM, and Luis and I listen to Daft Punk often.
Yeah, yeah, people listen to Daft Punk just because their music's good and it's not super like hardcore EDM, where if you're not into it, you're like, wow, my ears. Yeah,
and it's got like a 670s kind of like groove to it. Like you feel like you're gonna like,
yeah, it has such a very, very very good vibe. And that was the vibe of this movie to me. It was very Daft Punk. I was like, like I felt like the whole time I was bopping my head. I was very into it.
Well, can we pause real fast? Because yeah. I'm sure Andre read this, but this was one of the coolest facts that I read about this movie was that Daft Punk was approached as one of the first collabs in the entire process. Yeah. And that they were almost, I'm not going to say they were writing the movie, but like as the movie was being like written, the screenplay was coming out, the when they were shooting, everything Daft Punk was doing like along with them. So the music and the shooting and the writing all kind of like,
it all happened together. Well, if you think together.
About it,
that's music, why you feel that way.
Yes. And the music fits so well with every scene where I'm like, oh yeah, like it just fits very yeah. beautifully. And like my favorite,
I just wanted to see them faster. I just wanted to see them right at the beginning, like,
oh, like their cameo in the,
yeah,
in the
I wanted club. To see them like, yeah.
I love them. I love Daft Punk. So like, to me, that's just like really cool. And especially like, it just makes sense for the movie. Yeah. You know, also because of the way they dress is very Tron-like as well, you know, so it like fit very yeah. well. So great job on the music, Disney. I mean, that's cool that they were one of the first people they approached, because I think it helped, like you said, like shape the whole vibe of the movie and like what mm-hmm. direction they were going with it, which then I am sure plenty of people agree with me that they like the music. They did the like After Dark thing in California Adventure with Tron, and yeah. they started playing all this EDM music and having like glow cubes in your drink and people dressed up in light stuff with the helmets on, which I was like, when they're in the bar in Tron Legacy, I was like, if there was a bar like that, I'd be so about it. Like I would go yeah, to that sure. bar and drink like glowing blue drinks and stuff. I'd be so cool.
For sure. Yeah, I'm about it.
Yes. So there you go. Little music fun for you guys. I love me some EDM, so it's all good.
Yeah, it's really awesome. I love that. This might be my favorite thing that Daft Punk has ever done, and I enjoy a lot of their albums standalone. You know, without a whole Disney movie attached to it.
Faster, it's so stronger.
But this soundtrack, it's just so chill and vibey. It makes the whole movie a mood, you know. And
that's your chill.
That's why I said it makes the movie a mood. Like there, that's what he was doing.
That's
when
a lot of movement you're doing for it to be chill.
You had some nice pectorals there.
Okay. Okay. Well, he wasn't doing that. Basically, like the bass would drop on a song, and we were both like, like sitting in our chairs, you know.
Yeah.
It's fun. I think they picked the right music for it. It fits it very well.
Let's talk plot real fast, because this one's plot is not very strong. Not very complicated.
Right. No, it's simple. So Flynn has a son named Sam. Flynn is in I always want to call it a program. What is he in? He's in the grid. He's in the grid. Flynn is in the grid. Sam didn't know dad was in the grid. Sam has to find dad in the grid and get dad home to Earth. That's it.
Yeah, you really simplified it. Okay, boom. Yeah,
that's, done. That's it. That's the whole plot.
No, that is it. So the one of the best things I think about, is his name Sam?
Yeah.
The son? Yeah, his name's Sam.
The son's character is that he is on his own very, very smart and very capable and grows up without the father figure, like without his dad, because his dad is stuck in the grid, which he doesn't really know, even though I think he suspects. And Alan...
likes to hope.
Go ahead.
He likes to hope his dad's on the grid.
Yeah. And then Alan, who was the guy who played Tron in the first movie, who's the same actor, which I again really appreciate, has kind of been like checking in with him over the last 20 years.
Yeah, he's kind of being like a faraway father figure, just like checking on him. You know,
which I really appreciate that.
Which is fine. Alan still works for NCOM. And it seems like the Dillingers are still up there in it and stuff like that. And that Sam doesn't really care about the company that much because it's kind of a crappy company. You know what I mean? And even though he's like the majority shareholder and stakeholder, he just doesn't care to put his time and energy into it. Yet he does put his time and energy into it. You know what I mean?
Once a year.
Company prank.
Once a year.
His pranks are legit. Like, not only does he do a super cool motorcycle, like, stunt getaway thing, but he gets into the company, hacks it, and allows, like, a brand new software that's coming out that is supposed to be, like, making them lots and lots of money. He lets it out and leaks it for free.
For free,
so that people can download it. which is fantastic because he cares about helping people. So
which
like,
is basically like his dad's philosophy too. His dad wanted to create this perfect utopia, which is a very 70s hippie vibe, which his dad totally is, which they really pushed in this movie, like him saying rad and things like that, where I was like, hey, we can tone it down. We can tone it down just a little bit, just a little bit. Tone it down.
Well, it's so interesting because, you know, before Tron and even after Tron, Jeff Bridges was, he was an actor. He was Jeff Bridges. He's this guy who plays these roles. But at some point during his career, he became the dude from The Big Lebowski, who is that like laid back hippie, long hair, beard, in his pajamas kind of guy who says laid back stuff all the time. And so between that and this, he kind of enveloped some dudeness into Flynn, and I really like being brought out of this.
I don't know if he was really dudey in the first one though.
No,
he
wasn't.
Was more like nerdy, not like
he was like a hot nerd.
I don't know.
He was like a hot nerd dude. That was about it in the first one.
I mean, he was cool.
In the first one, he reminded me of, like, he had vibes. In the first one, he reminded me of Patrick Swayze.
Yeah,
and I'm all about that.
Yeah.
Okay. In the second one, he reminded me of his name playing Ego in Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Yes, 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 yes. I thought the same thing. I thought the same thing. I don't know that.
Kurt Russell?
Yes, Kurt Russell. That's his name.
Yeah, I thought the same thing.
Reminds me of him in that movie. Like, this all being very smart, very.
He's like, I'm going to meditate over here. He also, remind me of, an Obi-Wan Jedi, too, with, his cape and his, controlling of the different things. I'm like, okay, are we trying to make this, a little bit Star Wars vibe? But I like Jeff Bridges, and I like his character.
Yeah,
and
I liked him in it. It was good.
That they used the same actors. So if anything good came of me watching the first movie, it's that I got a little backstory for the second one, but that's all I can say.
Right.
You know, where I'm like, oh, okay, the characters make a little bit more sense, but that was it.
Can I give you my three major gripes for this movie, and then we can talk about the good stuff? Because for me, the movie's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Main gripe number one, WTF about Tron. Like, he literally...
Makes no sense.
He's shown once, and then Luis and I both pretty much discovered or assumed very quickly that he was the other character. I don't remember the character.
Alex.
We assumed that he had been usurped to the thing of power or whatever.
Yes, he became Rizzler.
Rinsler. Yeah, so when they
Rigsby
takes them over, he can de-res them and then remake them. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's whatever.
Which is cool and all, but then what was the point of him being the savior at the end? I just feel like they didn't tie in enough Tron for it to be important.
I think they just wanted to do a slight callback to the first one where Tron was fighting for the user, you know, and that was what he said, I fight for the user or whatever. Honestly, I don't understand why they even call the movies Tron at all. I get it sounds cool, Tron, cool. But they could have called it something different because he's not really that relevant to me. Either one. It's kind of whatever.
It's interesting because he's supposed to be this heroic.
I feel like he's supposed to be Hercules.
Yeah, he's.
Yeah, but
he's supposed to be the hero of the story.
But he's not the main character.
And yeah, he's definitely not the main character. And so for the first Tron, it's human user goes into the system and hangs out.
But then Alan should have been the main character.
And then hangs out with this program named Tron, and they together take down the system. And then so Tron, as a program, becomes a hero to all the programs.
No, but then Alan should have been the main character, not Jeff.
No, I'm cool with that. In the
first that's fine.
I'm not. But then in the second one, I was for him Tron to come back and save them at the end, why? What? It was a bad, to me, it was a bad segue. He should have at least tried to give us a couple of times where you're he's trying to break out of the badness. He's trying to break out of Hitler Klug's control. Just a little bit, but he didn't.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think
so that's my first gripe.
I think
my second gripe.
Oh, go ahead.
No. I'm so sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, to add some more Tron into this Tron movie, they should have cut back at some point to the real world and had Alan just doing something. He could have, you know, went and punched out Cillian Murphy or something like that. He could have, you know.
Who I was expecting to be the bad guy.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. I wanted him to be. That was my second scene. Point. Go ahead.
he's in one scene in like the whole movie. It's crazy. But yeah, Alan should have done something to like boost Tron's powers or something like that. You know, something from the outside world so that Tron was a little bit more a part of this. But other than that, you know.
All right.
It's funny that you say that because that's my second problem.
Okay.
Is that there was no outside world communication at all. And at least in the first movie, that made it interesting that there was stuff going on behind the scenes and in the scenes.
Right.
I
like also like that. No explanation about why he put that laser gun down in his thing. Where I was like, why does he even have that?
Well,
you know what I mean?
So
that's how he would get in there.
Because he wanted to continue to get into this utopia.
Exactly. At the end of the first Tron, he had become the CEO of ENCOM or whatever, so he could do whatever he wanted with any of that technology. And so and he was telling Alan that like, hey, I've cracked it, dude. I can get in. I can fix everything. I can do it all. So he had been popping in and out of there a bunch of times before he
for
got
centuries,
stuck.
Yeah. Pretty much, like, time-wise.
Exactly.
But I will say, like, you're right. There's not, like, an outside aspect nor an outside villain, like, how the first
and I wanted Cillian Murphy to be the bad guy because I love – Luis and I love him. Yeah. Like, he's such a good bad guy. It's Thomas Shelby and – what's that show called? Peaky Blinders. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, there was, like, none of that. So
there was
it
no
was
bad
basically
guy.
Just Clue, and that's it. Which Clue doesn't even thrill me. Like, what kind of technology did they use to make him look super young? I don't know. Like, it's whatever.
Oh, my God. Worst.
This is one of the first movies that I remember seeing with that de-aging technology. You know, especially a Disney
I don't
movie.
Like any of that de-aging technology, even in modern movies, really.
I'm going to throw it out there. Stop doing it.
Yes.
Just get it someone
Thank
else.
You. They need to stop
I would rather
it. Just
you
put some makeup on them. Like, I'm over you trying to de-age them.
Or get a different actor. I'd rather see a different actor than see these people, like, de-aged. It's awful. It looks so bad.
Yeah, it looks really uncanny valley in this one.
I agree.
Sure. Now, like in
for
Captain
moments,
Marvel,
it was okay because he was a user, right?
Yes.
Or not a user. He was a program or whatever. So in some shots, it's okay, but in other shots, it's like so disorienting. Like you look.
Yeah. No, like, I definitely agree.
Gross.
I mean, like there's the first scene in the movie where it's like young Jeff Bridges is talking to his young kid or whatever, and at first it's kind of like in shadow and in darkness and you can't really tell, and then it's a full on shot of.
We did not
face.
Need to see his face. It was his voice.
Why did you do that?
I was like working out on the bike, and Andre was like, "Just wait till he turns his head," and I was like, "Ah."
All I'm saying is that he has such an iconic voice that you didn't need to show his face in that scene. And then we could have just seen Clue. And then I would have been like, oh, okay.
Yeah, he's
like,
Robo version.
Yeah.
Right?
Because Clue looks like that, it's not a big deal because, like, he's not real.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, whatever.
But then they kept, even later, they did, like, the flashbacks where.
And they kept paralleling them.
Yes, you see Jeff Bridges creating Clue. And it's like, we look exactly the same. We both look gross and weird and and digital together. And it's like,
we
okay.
both nasty.
Right. I'm
yeah.
about it. Oh my Emily, gosh. what's your third gripe?
And then my third problem is that, like you said, the last scene where they're going on
the beam,
right? The beam to wherever.
The sky sail.
The last confusing piece of this movie for me was like, now he's...
Beam me up, Scotty. Beam me up.
Huh?
Well, so I think they
I get that he's a creator of the program, but why would he be able to just like touch the earth and the sky? Like,
I mean,
he's a
that
user.
Was very bizarre.
It's I think it's a very like Matrix kind
it's like
of
a
thing.
User power.
Yeah, he's got user powers when he's in the grid and whatnot. So he goes in there and he's like, I'm a human, so I've got all of these things. I can just control everything that's happening in this computer with my human powers.
That didn't bother me.
Why
it
didn't
wasn't
he defeat Clue
powers?
And get the heck out of there? Like, if you had those kind of powers, you
because
were stormed.
Because the way that he set it up was to make it hard for programs to get out of there, but he kind of screwed himself in the boot because then it made it hard for him that one time. And he put it on a time limit. So, like, basically, he was using it as, like, a safeguard, you know. So none of that really bothers me. And even the fact that he can kind of use the user thing. Something that I don't understand, and maybe you guys can explain this better to me, is I don't understand the ISOs. They just appeared out of nowhere.
So I think I watched an interview and somebody was kind of describing the way that this NCOM server, that the grid that they're in, it's not connected to the internet, right? It's completely separate. It's its right. own server. So they were saying that it's kind of like the Galapagos of computer programs. So it's been out there and it's just evolving on its own. The computer programs are evolving and making new things all the time. So these ISOs, apparently because Flynn has been in there for so long, it's like realizing what human DNA is. And so it's creating yeah. programs that have incorporated human DNA into them. So they could
okay.
go in and out. They're like an in-between. They're like a program and a person mixed together.
Well, and that's the weirdest thing too, is I kept thinking to myself, like, if Clue, a computer program, got out of the server, would he come out with a body? Would he just be
apparently.
Electricity that gets into a TV and then a lamp right. and then a toaster? Or is he like a person?
Or because he's like not a person. A human body or something right. like that?
I don't know. This is where
like
I
mess
to,
up
like,
the electrodes in your brain and take yeah. over? Like,
that
what?
Was the this was the problem for me, is I had to suspend my disbelief on all of that, where I was just like, okay, yeah. like, whatever.
Right.
Like, I have to not think about it because it doesn't
or
really
maybe,
make sense.
Or maybe Clue would get out and then he would become like a master control program from the first one, and then he would just infect the internet and become like a virus, basically.
I'm cool whatever. With that. That's
he was
better.
Trying-
Because in my mind, he was coming out bad CGI Bridges.
Well, and then they try to make
bad,
him like
hitting Hitler. Down with your bad self Bridges.
They try to make him like Hitler with his Nazi army, which is just like a little bit too much for me. It's like overdone, you know?
So every time you
Disney,
see an
how
army,
many times you got to do this?
Yeah, I don't know.
Every you time you got the army, there.
How many times you
got
to do that scene, though?
And so I was, all of that, I was kind of over. So, like, the first 75% of the movie with the light cycles and him getting on the grid and all of the cool people and the games and all of that is, like, so sick. I love it.
That's
I love
awesome.
It. I
pretty
love
much
it.
Up until the bar scene, I was, like, into it. Yeah. And then I was like, wow.
Yeah. No, I can agree. I still really like it. So let's talk about the light
the
cycles.
The bar scene?
Well, we'll talk about the bar scene, but let's talk about the light cycles since that's before. They all have these information disks. So if you're a program or whether you're a user going into this world, you get an information disk, and it seems like you can use that disk to destroy other programs like a Frisbee, right? So what I appreciated more is at least they made it more interesting in this movie. There was music during these scenes versus the first one, it was just sounds where I was like, okay, I get it. They're throwing disks at each other. Couldn't you have like put some music to this to make it seem more interesting? So thank goodness they did that. And the actors that they hired were like doing flips and stuff in the air. I was like, okay, this is sick.
Oh,
right?
The slow motion in this movie is dope. They're flipping over the
like
discs.
Some Matrix stuff happening. I was like, okay.
Yeah, for sure. That was very cool.
Sick. And the light cycles, they're so cool. And now I understand why Disney made a ride from this, because why not? Especially in Shanghai, where it's like technology city, right? So it like really makes sense that it's there. But the light cycles are the best part of this, and the fact that they're motorcycles that they like made like this and they shot all of this stuff is sick. And I also like the concept with the lines and them like running into it. And then this movie, it had multiple levels, right? So they could go down, they could go up, which made it more interesting. And the whole time I'm just thinking that I suck at video games so much that I would immediately be derezzed in a place like this. Like I would be derezzed.
Me too.
I would probably accidentally derez myself with my own disc. I'm like, oops, sorry.
I think I could do okay with the disc, but the light cycles, it seems really difficult.
That seems hard, and I'm sure there's a game that's actually like that, but that's hard.
I mean, I think there was
a lot of strategy.
I think there was a Tron Legacy video game, but also in Kingdom Hearts 2, there's a Tron level, and you do get to ride the light cycles.
Oh, that's it.
But it's more like the light cycles from the first one, where you make those hard 90-degree turns and smash into stuff.
Yeah,
it reminds me of Snake, because I was always messing up myself on Snake. Like, mm-hmm.
Ran into my own
and
tail.
Didn't they do a Tron callback in Ralph Breaks the Internet?
Yeah.
Yes, I believe so. I don't remember.
Because they were like, oh, we've been playing. Oh, no, it wasn't even Ralph Breaks the Internet. I think it was the original Wreck-It Ralph. Because they were talking about how they were playing and... Oh, maybe it was the second one. I don't know.
I'm sure it was
talking about how they were playing
and
there was a glitch.
Believe that.
Right.
Yeah. But I think all of the games and everything in this movie is just so much better. Like, it's so much exciting. I really like
it. Andre, did you read about... Oh, sorry.
No, go.
I'm having a hard time, like... Anyhow.
No.
Andre, did you read about the audiences and the recording of the arena scenes?
No.
Okay, so all of those arena scenes where they were fighting either with the discs or with the light cycles, mm-hmm. The sound, like Lucas Ranch was like, you know, you're going to have to get thousands of people to like chant at a time for it to sound the way you want it to. Like, you can't just get like 20 people and amplify it. Like, you need all of these people.
Disc wars.
Exactly. So what they did was they were like, hey, Comic-Con's coming up. So they announced Tron and everything at Comic-Con. And so when everyone went to listen to their talk, they taught them the chants that they wanted. And then they recorded the entire hall saying the chants. And then they used that as the audio for all of the arena scenes.
That's very cool.
That's pretty cool.
That's clever.
So those people are like the actual like sounds. And I
like that a lot. And that makes me want to go to Comic-Con, which I've never been to.
I don't know. One day. I mean, I've always wanted to go to Comic-Con. I mean, I shouldn't say that. In the last 5 years, I've wanted to. Mm-hmm. But now I'm like, ooh, am I going to be in a movie?
I might be in a crowd scene. Oh.
We got to go to D23 one day. We've been saying that for years.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah, the Tron light cycle was from Ralph Breaks the Internet, according to the credit post I'm reading. All right, thank you.
Okay. That's about all I have to say about this movie. I think we like actually some
bar scene. Bar scene.
The bar scene.
Oh, bar scene. Oh, they had to throw that actor in there.
So they go to meet with Michael Sheen.
It is hililious. But first of all, that girl is sick. I want her makeup. I should be here for Halloween. She looks
dope. The blonde with the eyes.
With her eyelashes like this. Jem. Yeah, she's sick. I'll be her for Halloween. Dope.
Who else did we see him in recently?
Who was she played by? Jem was played by Bo Garrett. That's her name.
Bo Garrett.
Oh, wait. I recognize her real face.
Wait a minute. Bo Garrett? That name's familiar.
She was in Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer. She was in Maid of
Honor.
Definitely
didn't see that.
And what do I actually recognize her from? I guess that's it. She hasn't been in too much. Okay. I think she was a love interest.
It's just those eyelashes. You feel like you know her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's... She was cool, and I didn't really understand her role in this movie necessarily. Like, she comes and outfits him with his new Disc Wars armor, which is really cool. And then later in the movie, he has to go see this Loki ripoff named Caster, and she helps bring him to that dude, and then they betray Sam and then move on from there.
I like that you said low-key ripoff, because that's what it reminded me
of.
Everything
he was doing, I was like, were you like an understudy? Or did you audition for low-key?
Totally.
And not get it, so Disney put you in this? No.
Totally. Could have been.
Yeah, and I like Michael Sheen as an actor.
You know what he reminded me of, though? He reminded me, it's funny that you say that, low-key mixed with Jeff Goldblum, like Grandmaster.
Could have been either.
I kind of wish they had done Jeff Goldblum, but
I love Jeff Goldblum.
You can't play the Grandmaster in everything. Yeah. What are you gonna do?
Yeah, but this is definitely a Grandmastery type dude.
For sure.
Like, come, I give you entertainment and libations. I've got a cane.
Dude, if you're using the word libations,
sounds like the
Beatles. You do sound like John Harrison. Lennon.
I love it.
The Beatles. Yeah, so they get betrayed in the bar. Daft Punk is there. They're playing jams. And as soon as the betrayal happens, Daft Punk is like, bro, we should change the music. And they were like, yeah.
That was hilarious.
That was awesome.
I love it.
It was great. They're like, oh, it's going down in here. Let's change it to the going down music. Let's go.
You want to know what else I read, which was hilarious? That one night on set, they're filming. Everything's going great. The camera's cut out, and they're like, cut, whatever. Everyone's doing their thing. They're like, okay, we're just going to go back to our trailers. I don't know what they do when the cameras go out. But Daft Punk was like, nah, y'all, we're about to have a rave. So everyone's in their costumes, ready to go, and they just start the music. And it's 4 o'clock in the morning, and they're out there getting it. having a complete rave on the set with their outfits, just like.
See, that's really cool. And that makes me think that, like, okay, so we said that, that Daft Punk was there on the set for a lot of this stuff, right? For shooting and writing and filming. And I like to think that they did it in their helmets the entire time. Like,
for sure. I feel like they did.
They probably did. Doesn't, like, nobody know what they look like?
I mean, you can look up pictures of what they look like.
But that's
like.
Not the point.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So to imagine that these dudes were wearing helmets for 4 months.
They were.
Yeah. Huh?
What'd you say, Lou?
He said up until 2008, like, nobody knew what they looked like.
Right. Yeah. And then people tried to do that, like Deadmau5. Well, we know who Deadmau5 is, and Marshmello, which we still don't know who Marshmello is, but he is mediocre at best. Whatever.
DJ Byrne.
DJ Byrne.
DJ Byrne is a different DJ. Just imagine. A different mask.
Can you imagine, though, just being on set and they, like, whatever, let's just keep going.
Mm-hmm. Buy it, use it, make it, fix it, break it, change it, break it, name it. I used to know all the words to that song.
I'm pretty sure you sang it before, in the car.
If it comes on, I'll say all the words.
Or the Kanye one.
Yeah.
Have you seen the videos of the people with, like, I think they're wearing like a cardboard.
Yes. Like, and they're like half naked.
And they have it on their arms. And they're like.
Yeah.
I've watched it probably 85 times in my life. Like, I love it.
Yeah, that's
every
great.
Time I hear that, I think of that.
It's good stuff. We'll watch it as soon as we're done podcasting.
I love it. I love it.
I'm like, how many times did they do that? Like, they had to, 2 million times.
So let's see. What else did I have to say about Tron Legacy? I think the acting in this was definitely better. I liked Garrett Hedlund as the lead.
I liked the girl too, Cora.
Olivia Wilde. Yes. Yeah. She was good. She was interesting. I didn't remember her being so laughy and jovial as a robot lady.
I say I like her. It's because I like her wig.
Sweet wig.
You didn't like that look on her? I thought it was sick.
I didn't like that it was choppy.
Oh, right. I liked it. It gave it like a sci-fi vibe.
But I feel like everything else was very, like, straight lines. Yeah. Like, I wish it would have been, like, straight across.
Yeah. That would have been cool, for sure.
I don't know. I just felt like she had, like, a really nasty, like, part. Huh?
I liked it. I know. Sorry. We're, like, kind of cutting back and forth.
Yeah, but, I'm sorry.
Let's compare. No, it's okay. It's probably our internet. Let's compare shmonies for these movies.
Oh.
Granted, one is in 82 and one is in 2010, so we'll have to think about that. But
yes. So.
You know what I want is I want there to be, like, OG Tron followers, and they call themselves, like, the Tronies or something.
Like Tronies.
The Tronies. Didn't you know, like, those, what are those people called that like My Little Ponies that are dudes, babe?
They're bronies.
Bronies. Mm.
Yes. So before I get into the
Andre only knows that because he's a brony.
I'm not a brony. I've only seen a couple episodes of My Little Pony. Anyway,
is it a TV show?
Yeah, it's a TV show. It came out more recently in like 2015 or something like that, and that's when the bronies really started becoming a problem for the entire United States.
it's the world, really.
Real weird. But yes. So this movie, I did want to mention that this one, Tron Legacy, is like a whole movie about daddy issues, right? Like Jeff Bridges was the kind of an absentee father and had to leave the kid with the grandparents and then disappeared off into the void. He went to go get cigarettes and never came back for 20 years or whatever, but he just dived into
it. And he obviously was a bad parent because look at you with your red vines. Because is that the one I bought you like 2 years ago?
No.
No.
I killed that one. This is a new one.
But you know he was a bad dad because, like you said, he was with the grandparents.
Yeah.
Like, he was staying in their house in his own room when the dad was like, I'm going to go out and get some cigarettes. I'll be back.
For
I'm gonna
sure.
Hop on my motorcycle and dip out of here. Motorcycle doesn't have a sidecar or anything either, you know? That kid wasn't having a motorcycle at all.
No booster seats for him.
Yes. So there's the obvious daddy issues with Sam and Flynn who has been gone, but then there's also daddy issues with Flynn and Clue. Like, Clue is an obvious, like, surrogate son that Flynn made while in the grid or whatever, and he was like, I'm gonna do good, I'm gonna be a good boy, and I'm gonna create the perfect system for you, Daddy Flynn.
And I didn't tell me what you said, Dad.
Yes, and so they end up stupid. They end up fighting and stuff like that because of it. And then there's also the third child of Cora, and she is like this ISO adoptive daughter that Jeff Bridges has. Jeff Bridges has a whole bunch of kids, and he keeps going like, you know what's a good thing to do? Nothing. You should do nothing when you're faced with adversity. Just don't do anything about it. That's the kind of parenting style he's got. I like it.
That makes me worried.
No, I'm kidding.
Tony, I was waiting for it.
Tony
Stark built this in a cave with a pile of scraps.
Yeah.
Fantastic. I want to watch that movie again. It's so good.
Okay, let's move on. Let's close this out.
Give me the shmoney.
So, Tron 1 did pretty well. It had a good audience reception. It had a budget of $17 million, which was kind of high at the time, especially for Disney. So the director of the first Tron, he had shopped this around at a couple different networks. And like Warner Brothers turned it down and Columbia turned it down. Everybody turned it down. And then Disney took it on and produced it and bought it and all that stuff. Oh, thank you. and then so they didn't want to give him a very big budget, but they ended up giving him $17 million on top of like the $4 million he had already spent. Dang. Making the proof of concepts and all that stuff. But it ended up having a worldwide gross of $50 million. So that's pretty good. Tron Legacy, on the other hand, had a budget of $170 million. So, you know, just 10 times that of the first one. And then it ended up with a worldwide gross of $400 million. So they made their money back on both of these movies, for sure.
Tomato.
The tomato meters. Let's see here.
Oh, I was like, why are you saying tomato?
Tomatoes.
Tomato.
Yeah.
So for the first Tron 1, it has a 73% on the tomato meter, and an audience score of 69%. The critics' consensus says, though perhaps not as strong dramatically as it is technologically, Tron is an original and visually stunning piece of science fiction that represents a landmark work in the history of computer animation. So that's cool. They liked it. They liked it in 1982.
73%. I mean, it was good enough.
73%. It was well received. For Tron Legacy, it has a 51% on the tomato.
Whoa!
Yeah, and only a 63% audience score. So it was less well received.
I mean, that's kind of low.
It's kind of low. And I
would switch those scores like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Let me read the critical sense. It says Tron Legacy boasts dazzling visuals, but its human characters and story get lost amidst its state of the art production design. So I'm gonna say that the reason that it didn't get quite as good reviews as the first one is because the first one was revolutionary at the time or whatever, but also because there's kind of a little bit of a barrier to entry for this, for Tron Legacy. When Tron Legacy was coming out in the theaters in 2010, it was billed as like a sequel, right? A sequel to Tron, a movie which not a ton of people have seen. And yeah. I had seen it, but I didn't rewatch it to go see Tron Legacy. And then when I went to see Tron Legacy, I wasn't confused, but I definitely felt like there were parts of the story that I was missing because I hadn't immediately watched Tron 1 before I went to go see it.
Could be.
So I think that prevented it being a sequel to an old movie. I think that prevented a lot of people from going to see it.
Okay.
And liking it.
Well,
and that's the thing is that I'll be honest with you. I mean, I realized that I knew less about this movie than most people, but I did not realize that it was a sequel until you said something about it a couple weeks ago.
Me
and I was
either.
Like, oh, I thought it was just Tron.
Tron rebooted. Like,
yeah.
I didn't even realize it was called Tron Legacy. I thought it was just Tron.
Yeah. So. Tron Legacy. Well, okay, I'm ready to vote then for ratings.
You gonna do both at the same time?
I'm gonna go, we'll do it. We'll do Tron. And then you'll give Tron Legacy after.
Okay.
So my Tron rating is very low. So don't judge me. It's a 5. Like, it is what it is. It is what it is. I really don't like it. Like, I was very, very bored. And usually, even if a movie is kind of bad, at least I'm not that bored. But I was bored. It's a 5 for me. I'm never going to watch it again. I can't really relate to it. It's not something.
But why is it not lower? Like, if you really don't like it.
Because a 5 is an F. It's okay because I have a piece in my heart for sci-fi stuff. So I'll give it a 5 because it's sci-fi and it has lights. We'll give it that.
Lights.
It has lights. It's a sci-fi thing. And it's set up for the next movie, which I like. Okay, so we'll give it that. Tron Legacy, I would say, like, overall, I would give it a 7.5, but I'm going to give it an 8 for the Daft Punk musical purposes and the light cycles. Like, the movie overall, I mean, it's one of those movies I want to look at more than, like, watch for the storyline or listen to.
Yeah, it's more fun to be like, ooh, yeah. Wow.
Wow, that looks cool. And it looked freaking sick on our TV, I am not going to lie. So
I'm sure.
For all of that, I'm going to give it an 8. Like, it's a good movie. I like the costumes. I like the music. I like it that it's visually beautiful and things like that. Is the storyline great? Like, not really. But for what it's worth, I like it. So that those are my ratings.
Speaking of, when this is all over, I want to come watch Lord of the Rings on your TV. That's cool.
As soon as we got this TV,
I'm like, just said we'll buy our own.
You guys legit need to come over because the first day we were here watching stuff in 4K, we were like this.
Wow. Andre, well, I want to watch Andre Lord of the Rings and be like
Transformers the other day on it, and I was like, sick. I mean, Transformers is not great, but I'm pretty sure you just wanted
to. It made Transformers cool again.
It made the movie like 20% better.
Yeah. I was like, oh, come on, Autobots, unite. Unite.
Roll out, Autobots.
Roll out, Optimus Prime. Okay, Emily, let's have you go next. Tron and then Tron Legacy.
I give it a 4.
Reason?
3, 2, 1. No, I'll give it a 4. It was not good. I mean, it was a movie. It was on a reel at some point. It's now stuck in my brain, but I did not enjoy it. I will not rewatch it. And I'm giving it a 4 because I feel like it was a really cool concept. If the concept wasn't cool, I would have given it a lower score. But they just weren't able to execute their idea. And if I wasn't interested in computers, it didn't at all. So, anywho.
All right.
The Tron Legacy was good overall. With my issues, I'm going to give it a 7.5. But if we had stopped the movie like right at the bar scene, I probably would have been like, oh, 8.5. Like, no problem. Like, maybe even a 9. Like, I was really into it. And then they just like I fell off the bandwagon. I was like, falling very sadly down a hill.
That does happen with movies sometimes.
Gathering grass.
I prefer it when that happens with movies in the opposite direction, where it starts out and I'm like, this movie, okay, this is exactly how I felt about Rogue One in the movie theater. I was watching it and I was like, whatever. Okay, kind of cool. Oh my God, this is the best Star Wars movie. So like when they do it like that, it works. But when they do it the opposite way, it never works. You know, so it's
I don't think that was their intention.
I know, but if that's how you feel about it, then it's like, because you get let down. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
All right. I like those ratings. Luis, let's have you go next. Tron first.
F for Tron. F. And I'll give
giving
it, like
it a teacher rating.
And we're like what a else
B. A B.
A B for Tron Legacy.
So an 8?
B.
And what kind of F?
5.
Five. He's like, I'm being a teacher, guys. A F and a B, okay? Move on.
He's over here distance learning, okay? Yeah. Gotta right, get his ratings on.
Did you like the Daft Punk stuff, Luis?
Not really. They could have put anybody there.
Okay.
Old Man Negative is back.
Oh, man.
Are you talking about their music? I honestly felt anybody could have done. It's not that hard to do an electronic soundtrack, if you ask me.
All right, new challenge for episode 97.
Luis got to score a whole movie. Soundtrack, Luis.
Do you guys remember the New Girl episode where they're like, they're like, yes! I think it was Schmidt that's like super into EDM, and the rest of them are like, I'm gonna create a song, and if you can tell the difference between this EDM song or the one we create, then we'll listen to it for a whole week or something. And they literally can't tell the difference.
Yeah.
It's very funny.
There, I did it.
That was almost it. Yep.
I did pretty good, huh? Okay, babe. You're up.
Yes, so me. I'm going to give Tron 1 a...
A 1?
Tron 1.
Tron 1. Oh, I thought you were giving it a 1. I was like...
Tron.
No. I'm going to give it a 5.5. Okay. I think...
You know, you were sticking up for it real hardcore earlier. You gave it a 5.5. Yeah. I thought you was going to be like 7.
This is my sticking up for it score, okay? That's how,
honestly, I'm not gonna lie, you were annoying the crap out of me where you were like, well, it has this thing and this. I was like, shut up, you know it's bad.
Okay, like, I'm just trying to give it some merit, because
no merit.
If we didn't have Tron 1, we wouldn't have gotten Tron 2.
Yeah, that's why I gave it a 5.
Okay,
that's why, anyway, I gave it a 5.5.
I'm giving it a 5.5 because I truly enjoy the concept. I really like the way that this movie is set up, and the first 10 minutes of it, I was all in. I really like it. I like all the characters that they set up. I like the whole concept that they set up. It's just that the execution didn't age well. I think if I was either the same age I am now or younger in 1982, I think I would have been raving about this movie. I think I would have been all in for it. But the fact that I saw it in the early 90s or whenever I actually saw it, and now, it's like, whew, this movie it's slow. It doesn't make a ton of sense, and the action it's old school, baby. Okay, we got frisbees and they're flying, and that's about it. That's all.
And they are frisbees. They are not wannabe frisbees. They are.
That's all that's happening. So I'm giving it 5.5 based on that, and its contributions to the technological world of film. For Tron Legacy, I think I'm gonna give it an 8.5. Yeah. 8.5. I really like it. It's
I like how Emily and I both did it.
Yes, eyebrows. I think that the score mixed with that original concept from Tron that I loved, plus the new action, really puts this movie over the top for me. It as a good movie. Excuse me. I'm
wine burps.
I'm wine burpy. It really puts it over the top. The
That's
score,
disgusting.
You're welcome.
Really does put it over the top. Okay.
The score from throughout the entire movie is so vibey. It makes me want to do this again. And I
look like Kermit.
Thank you. The movie feels good because of the music and all of the action mixed in with that score. It makes it feel more real than it would with any other composer, despite what Luis has said about the music.
You mean the non-existent Lou, who's literally not here?
Non-existent
plus them,
Lou.
Them bringing back Jeff Bridges and him delivering an older, evolved, more chilled out Flynn. I really like that a lot too. His chilled out Jedi vibe is nice, and if they put the dude,
he's totally a Jedi. Like,
I'd be into it. He's like, hey man, it's the Force, dude. Whatever, I don't care.
It's funny because at one point I thought to myself, like, he's gonna have a lightsaber version of this disc. Like, yeah. I was very much expecting.
That would've been sick.
It was really funny when Flynn Jr. Sam, when he's got like the light cycle bar, and he's like, What am I supposed to do with this? And they're like, not that.
All right. It was fine. So overall, did we do this double feature? Yes. Did we wish we brought it done just a single movie? Probably. But listeners, let us know. Did you double feature? If so, I apologize for that first one. We are so sorry that you had to witness.
We are so sorry.
A piece of historical Disney film.
We hope you made it to that second one, which is worth watching.
You know what? We might have some people who ship the first Tron, and they're like really mad at us for doing this right now. You know?
I mean, yeah.
What's really funny is I wish I would have. I kind of wish I would have watched Tron Legacy previously because I bet you I would have really liked it. Like,
do you think watching the first one first, like, kind of ruined it more for you?
I think I was just already, like,
over it.
You know what I mean? Like, I might not have been as annoyed when they were on that, like, journey at the end, but because it was so reminiscent of that awful part in the first movie, I was like, God, you're like, again?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. That makes sense.
All right.
Just so you know. Just so you know, listeners, I take copious notes, and if you go to patreon.com/thewaltvault, you get access to those notes, and you don't have to necessarily watch the whole movie. You know, you can just read through my notes, and then you can listen to the podcast.
And that's all we're doing for the really crack funny. This week, because I don't have anything else to say about this movie. That's it.
Crack.
That's all you get.
That's all you get.
Well, I mean, I did cuss in the first, like, 3 minutes of the episode, yeah, so right. I obviously have more colorful language to share.
But next week, we're doing another movie, didn't you know? Didn't you know that's what we do on this Walt Vault podcast? We talk about movies.
What are you doing?
This thing was full to the brim and it's gone, okay? It's gone. I'm about to drink Andre's if he didn't finish
it. Anyway, what movie are we watching, dear?
We are going to do the live action 2000 and something.
I believe it's.
Was it early 2000s?
No.
It was like 2011, I think.
Something like that. Go ahead and say it.
It's just called Alice in Wonderland. It's not like Through the Looking Glass or anything like that.
We're watching 2010's live action, directed by Tim Burton, Alice in Wonderland.
Alice in Wonderland.
Okay, no. We're done with you. I can't actually put my hand in your face, but you need to stop.
Stop it. So we've done the animated version of Alice in Wonderland. So if you haven't listened to that episode, feel free to go back and
episode 57.
Watch that one. But we're going to do the live action Tim Burton Alice in Wonderland for you guys. And it is on
Disney. Which Luis actually really enjoys. So I don't understand why he just went and sat down in a different chair. But he's really excited about that movie.
Okay. Yeah, you guys actually really like it.
He did this.
He's into it. He's ready to play Uno, that's why.
I love me a Tim Burton movie. I'm very excited for this one.
I haven't seen it in a long time. I think I've only seen each of the live action Alice in Wonderlands once.
Correct.
Like one time through in the theater, and that's it. So I'm excited to remake it. I don't know. Maybe I'll dress up like Alice. I don't know what's going
to
happen.
I went on a date to see this movie, and it wasn't with you. Hi. All right. Thank you guys so much for listening to The Walt Vault. That's been it for us this week. If you want to keep up with us, go to our social media.
Hold on. We have to say thank you.
Oh.
We have to say thank you.
Oh, yeah. That's right. We got a brand new patron to the show. And if you go to patreon.com/thewaltvault, you too can be a patron. So we just want to give a shout out to our brand new patron. Emily, what's her name?
Sarah Snyder.
Thank you so much, Sarah, for being a patron of The Walt Vault. We appreciate you. A gift is coming to you in the mail.
She already got it.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you already got a gift.
We're very impromptu here at the Walt Vault. Welcome, she already got it.
Somebody left their house today.
Hey, don't tell people. I think I'll get in trouble.
Oops. All right. Yeah. So if you want to get some extra content from the Walt Vault, you can head over to patreon.com/thewaltvault. Sign up there. You only have to sign up for as little as a dollar. It's real cheap to get the extra content that we got. We got podcasts, gameplay videos. There's my notes that detail the movies for you, and more. Oh, there's an extra podcast there. Did I mention that? Anyway, yeah. So go there, sign up, be a patron. We'll read your name on the show. We'll acknowledge your existence. if you pay us. All right. But if you don't want to do that, you don't have to. Feel free to stay a free member of The Walt Vault. Subscribe on whatever podcast platform you're listening on. Leave a review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you want to go. Leave a comment if you're on YouTube. Hit that like button. Smash that notification bell. And send an email to contact@thewaltvaultpod.com. And we'll read your message on the show. You guys, that's been it for this week. We will see you next time for some Alice in Wonderland goodies. I've been drinking too much wine. The vault is now closed.
Goodies.